All right, guys, welcome back to the Project 54 Movement. It's your host, Steve Pedroza. We got a good guest today, a good friend of mine that met over a year and a half ago, my buddy Adolfo. Hey, thanks for having me, brother. I appreciate it, man. So today we're going to be just going through a couple different, you know, questions, a couple different things. And I think one of the things that's just be, you know, as authentic as possible. Like, as I met you, I think over a year and a half ago, right? Yeah. I think we're going, like, this February would be 2 years, you February know, since we joined the group and stuff like that, you know, and then we'll talk about that. But just introduce yourself, man. Like, you know, kind of your yourself, your upbringing, you know, married, kids, all that stuff, man.
Yeah. So my name is Adolfo. I'm from the San Fernando Valley, born and raised in L.A., you know, kind of love my roots in, yeah, in the San Fernando Valley. It's hot, but I love it out there. I have two kids. I have adult kids. I still have a hard time kind of dealing with that, right? How do you say adult kids, adult children, exactly, right? So I have a 28-year-old daughter and I have a 21-year-old son, who I am, you know, very proud of. They're the reason why I'm still here, you know, from the roller coaster lifestyle that I chose to put upon myself. I got a lovely, she's not my wife, but, you know, could be considered my wife. I got a lovely partner, who's been with me for 20 something years.
Oh wow, yeah.
Don't tell her I said that. So she's actually put up with me for quite some time, and you know she's gone through this roller coaster with me as well. And now we're both on this journey of, you know, self development and, you know, becoming better versions of ourselves so that we could be better parents, we could be better partners to each other. Nice, you know, dude. And you know, be a reflection to those around us.
Nice, man. Yeah. And I remember, you know, when I met you and your I was gonna say wife, but you know, we'll go with your, you know,
I don't know if it's girlfriend. You can say wife.
Well, wife. We'll say wife, man. Yeah. You know, hopefully she doesn't get mad at me, but I think
she won't. I promise she'll be
good, dude. But I remember, you know, we met at a mastermind. We met at a mastermind where it was different for me. And I know we both kind of came from the same type of background, you know, so we both kind of like entered the circle of masterminds kind of at the same time. Like, we're kind of like, you know, we talked about, like, I don't know, man, like, is this where we're supposed to be at, and things like that. You know, we had conversations at that, and, you know, so let's talk about that a little bit, man. Like, how was your, you know, your feeling about when you joined the mastermind?
Well, yeah, dude. I mean, even just joining the mastermind, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I was following, you know, RBO for quite some time because I was in a dark spot in my life, right? And I started to realize that I was just existing. I didn't have a purpose. I really didn't know why I was doing what I was doing, why I was running a business. And so I started listening to the podcast and, you know, started kind of bringing clarity to my life. And, you know, I signed up for it. Never in a million years did I think I was actually going to get a call. And when I did get the call, you know, Corey called me. Shout outs to Corey. Corey called me and, you know, we kind of aligned. You know, he was like, I think the guys were in San Diego. He was like, dude, you got to go out to San Diego and meet the guys. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it, but he kind of haunted me down a little bit, bro. Because, you know, I kind of was like, I don't know if I, you know, the imposter syndrome kind of kicked in, right? Like, I don't know if I belong there. I don't even know what this thing's about. And so eventually, obviously, I signed up. I went there. I didn't know what to expect. I do a lot of networking. Mm-hmm. So, like, I belong to networking groups where it's more of a referral partner type deal, right? You just kind of lead generator. And so I kind of thought it was going to be the same sort of thing, but at a really high level. Right? And so when we walk in and, you know, you're getting hugged and, and we go, the first thing we do is the breath work.
Yeah, that was crazy.
It was just like, wow, like, this is something completely different. And, you know, Adriana did come out for that mastermind. And so she got firsthand, you know, after, you know, we were there for whatever, all day. You know, I came home and, or I got back into the room and I was a hot mess, man, you know? You know, I sat there and she had never seen me cry other than when my mother passed away.
Yeah.
You know, and even then she saw me cry once, you know? Yeah, yeah. And so I came into to the room and, you know, I kind of just laid it on her, yeah. like, you know, I was able to feel again.
Got it.
I was able to show emotion and, mm-hmm. and share emotions with her, because at the end of the day, you know, she's been my biggest supporter.
Yeah.
You know, she's kind of been with me through the whole thing, from the beginning of opening up a business and, you know, the struggles that you go with.
Yeah, exactly,
you know, opening
man.
Up a business. And so, you know, it was, I think it was, you know, we talk about it a lot now.
Mm-hmm.
It was heartwarming for her mm-hmm. to see that I was actually human, right? And that yeah. I actually feel. And I think it's something that she had been waiting for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, she kind of knew it was in me.
Yeah.
She just didn't know how to get it out. And RBO was able to get that out within day one.
There's a lot of things those dudes get out of you, dude. It's crazy, yeah. man. But so kind of go back, a little bit. So I know, you know, you talked about, you know, kind of being hesitant on making that leap. What was it like, what was it that you think or that you could reflect on that made you like, all right, you know, if it was the money part, if it was something that Corey said or someone said that just kind of like, all right, I'm going to do this. Like, what was that point that, if you could remember, what was it that drawn you like, all right, I'm all in and what's going to happen?
Yeah. So I think that A was trying to justify the money. So I do mm-hmm. have a business partner, right, Luis, and I had to justify the money with him, right? Because yeah. I was going to pull the money from the business. And so we sat down, and he and I had already talked about the RBO thing, because, again, I was listening to the podcast,
yeah.
and I would bring it to him, and I would shoot it to him and be like, dude, you got to check out these episodes, right? And so when we sat down and talked about it, and I was like, dude, this is going to cost me X amount of money. You know, it's going to cost us X amount of money, and I can't guarantee you an ROI. You know what I mean? Like, eventually what this is going to do is it's going to hopefully make me a better person so that I could come back, pour it into you, pour it into the company, and then we could grow the company based on, you know, on the effects that I have within yeah. the group. And so I think that was the pivotal moment for me, is when he literally stood up and he was like, dude, you're like lit up right now. Like, you're glowing.
Yeah.
You know, like, you need to do this. Like, stop thinking about the money. Stop thinking about how you're going to do that. You know, the whole flying out and being gone from the business for 4 days. Like, again, I don't take vacations. You know, I'm always there. And so it wasn't not just the money. It was like, I also have to be gone for 4 days, you know, and you guys have to kind of deal with the business on its own. And so I think that was a pivotal moment. So Adriana was on board. Mm-hmm. I had got her on board. My kids were on board. It was just my business partners. And so when he kind of stood up and he was like, you have to do this, because I could see how excited you are just talking about mm-hmm. it. I can only imagine what it's going to be like when you come back. And sure enough, like, dude, at lunchtime, that first mastermind at lunchtime, I was on the phone with him, like, you know.
This is crazy,
like,
huh?
Crazy. And he was like, dude, I'm yeah. glad we did this. And like, you know, soak it all in so you can tell me more.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't cry yet.
Yeah.
I didn't cry until I got back. And yeah. the same thing, right? Like, even when I got back, dude, like, you know, I realized, like, I think I've told you this before, like, I just hugged, you know, I think it was like 30 of us at the
time,
right?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
30 strangers.
Yeah, dude, that was crazy.
Right? And I sat there and I realized, when was the last time I hugged my son? Yeah. When was the last time I hugged my brother? You know, my mom had already passed away.
And a hug. Like, not like a side hug.
Yeah, I'm talking about a yeah, hug, yeah, like yeah. a real hug, right? Not like this, you know, one-handed yeah, yeah. thing. Yeah, exactly. And so, like, you know, it was that reflection that when I got back and I gave my business partner a hug, he gave me a hug and he was like, dude, I want to know everything about this yeah. because this is a new adult for already.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just with that alone, you know, was a change. And so that, for me, that was the big, you know, the big moment that made me shift and was like, I'm all in.
Yeah. And you know what? It's crazy because that's, I mean, like, for me, I had that when I hugged Trevor and Kale in San Diego. So I was able to, I'm very, I need a, like, the transaction needs to be like personable. Like, I need a, like, we need a, like, what's up? Like, if it's, you know, growing up where I grew up, we're going to have a problem or altercation or anything, love, hate, any type of relationship, it's in person. We're going to deal with it. Right? So I remember when I got the call from Corey, same thing. I was in the parking lot, in downtown Pomona. I was driving, I think from a construction site, and I stopped in my hometown. It was weird, right? Yeah. And got the call, and he's the same thing with me in San Diego. I was like, cool, let's meet. Like, I'll move things around. So my wife's like, okay, like, all right. Like, she wasn't against it, but it was just kind of different because I wasn't on that, the level, anything. I never even really talked about it.
Right.
It was just like, I seen it. I was following them. And then I met them in San Diego. And my wife's like, oh, yeah, just be there. Oh, my wife's always the biggest supporter. But I was just kind of like, I don't know. But when I met them, when I met Corey, it was genuine. Like, from, like, you know, when you ever, like, when you give someone that handshake, that hug, and it just flows. But there's some of those awkward ones. It's like the clap's wrong or the handshake's wrong. Or it's like, like one of those moments. Yeah. It wasn't like that, you know. And then when I got to the event they were at, I can't remember what they're sponsoring some event in San Diego. Went up to them, dude. It was just like, I knew them from years, dude. Like, handshake, hug, boom. All right, I'm with it. Here you go. Here's a check. Let me go down to my car. There you go. I got it. You know?
Yeah. I think that's the beauty of it is I think their persona and just the vibe that they give out, both, you know, Corey and Trevor and Kel and even, and Corey, right. Is very welcoming, dude. It's very family oriented, right? Like you said, like immediately, like you have this attraction, this connection to them. Even listening to them, right? Like, people listen to them, and you hear this a lot on their podcast. Like, they listen to an episode and then they go back to episode one and start hearing from the beginning. I know I did that, right? Because it was something that I connected with. I think something that Trevor said, you know, about his past, and I was like, dude, that's me. I got to hear this from the beginning because I got to know the whole story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so you come in and it's almost like you already know these guys.
Yeah. And it's just so crazy. Like, and once that happened, and then I was a little, to be honest, I'm not scared of much, but when I got on that flight, I was just like, dang, what's going to happen? Yeah. Like, what am I getting myself into? Yeah, totally. And same thing. It was just, I don't have a business partner. It was me. And still my business, but we've been open for going on 4 years. And it's like, it's very young in my career, in my business, where I'm still young in my career, in my business, you know? And, I was like, man, I'm going to step away. You know, it's going to be tough. But I was like, you know, let me just go all in. And, I got there, was a little nervous. My palms are sweating. I was like, got down. And then, you know, everybody, you know, meeting you and talking to Donnie, talking to a lot of people that we all connected with. But then the first actual meetup that day was with Dr. Shannon. And I love her, man. She like brings out like every freaking arsenal in you, dude. It's freaking every arsenal, every freaking tear you have in your life, dude. Yeah. It's crazy. But yeah, just how you said, like, I stood up and I remember I said about my experience during the breath work, and there's no way in heck I ever cried talking about something in front of 30 people I do not even know.
Right.
There's no way I'm doing that, dude. No way.
This was an hour or two in.
Dude, yeah, exactly. Dude, I don't know any of these people. I was like, I don't even do that in front of barely did that in front of my family, if that, you know? Right. And so that's when I knew it was real, and it was just something so different, you know? And I think it's, just grown like a little compound over time, more and more and more, you know? So like, how was it, you know, once you left the first meetup, when you went home, like, how was it when you went home and like, the brotherhood, I would say, and sisterhood, 'cause we do have, women that are part of the RBO as well. How did that feel for you? Like, you know, from the brotherhood, the camaraderie, and then, you know, leaving there, going home, and then now it's real life.
Yeah, I think that's where it really hits you, right? And you really understand if you're really prepared to take on the next challenge, right? Or the next chapter, which is putting it into practice, right? Yeah. Taking action. Because it feels great. It's almost like I don't want to say on vacation, but it's almost like you take a break from your daily stress, right?
Yeah.
And then you get fed all this, all these wonderful things and ideas and things that you could just come back home and really implement. But then you get home and it's just a pile of stuff is waiting for you, right? And so for me, it was great. I came back feeling super light. You know, I felt better than I did my entire life. Again, it was just like a lot of the weight was lifted off my shoulders, right? Again, my mom's passing, I think I was carrying that. And, you know, through the breath work, I was able to finally allow myself to let that go and realize that, you know, that life is going to go on and that I have a greater purpose than what I thought was my purpose prior to that. And so, you know, coming back, it was really setting a precedence to put things in action, right? So first was, you know, sitting down with my family, right? Not only my immediate family, like, you know, my kids and my girl Adriana, but my brother, my sisters, right? And like really talking to them and letting them know how I feel and, you know, how things are going to change and, you know, kind of preparing them for what was coming. You know, that makes sense?
Yeah.
And then I did the same thing with the business, right? I sat down with my business partner. I kind of poured into him what I learned and, you know, how we were going to change things and how we were going to proceed moving forward and how he could also change his life, right?
Yeah.
And so I felt great as far as like, you know, the brotherhood and the sisterhoods that we formed out there. I could honestly say that I probably didn't take advantage of that as much as I could have, right? Because I came back so focused on ensuring that my inner circle was, exactly. you know, getting poured into that. You know, one of the biggest things for me, you know, and you know, I love the word vulnerability, right? Because it's hard. It's hard to be vulnerable. We weren't born, you know, we weren't raised with that mindset. And so asking for help has been very, very tough. And so, you know, I did the Michael Burnoff event. You know, I think you did that as well.
I did I signed up. I did like the phone ones and the Zoom ones. And then, you know what, things kind of got away from me. I wasn't able to attend the event, you know.
Yeah. So in the Michael Burnoff thing, they talk about, your human rights. And one of your human rights was your right to be independent, right? And the right to be dependent. And so I think that, you know, growing up and being told, you know, if you want something done, you got to do it yourself. You can't rely on somebody else. You know, you have to be the go-getter.
Yeah.
So that took away my dependency and it made me very independent. And so I always felt like, if I have to go do something, I have to do it on my own.
Do yourself, right?
Right. And I have to go through the hard way, right? I can't ask for help. There's no shortcuts, right? Because asking for shortcuts is just not the right way to do it.
Yeah.
And so I still struggle with that today, right? Because it's hard for me to pick up the phone and say, hey, I'm struggling with something. Can you help me? And I know that I have really badass individuals that I could pick up the phone and, you know, just hear me out.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't matter if you don't tell me anything, just hear me out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that's what some of the things like, and that like part of the group is like, how you said, like I didn't use everybody in the very beginning because we had to knock down that wall of being vulnerable. Like knocking down that wall, being vulnerable is, it opens up a lot. It opens up people to hurt you. It opens up to people to make you better. There's a lot of different pieces to that could happen. Like, and I believe, just what you said, like the group is so powerful because they listen. And it's not, in any way, shape or form, or I never felt that way where it was like, they're judging you. They're doing any of that. They're like, okay, cool. Well, these are other ways that I have done it. And it gives you a bigger perspective on how, if it's, you know, business, personal, and even that, like, when I joined the group, I thought it was going to be a lot about business, like, you know, like real business owners,
right?
But, you know, there was a lot, there is business involved, but like, to be honest, personally, oh, dude, like, I think they have the ultimate, like, equation figured out. It's like, you work on yourself, the business just follows.
Yeah.
You know, like I literally like catapulted my company tremendously because I worked on myself. It wasn't really things that I did business wise, but it was a reflection of how I worked on me, how I showed up, how I was able to feel more, how I was able to show my team that I care. That literally just boom, 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 boom. It just started like domino effect.
Yeah. So real business owners are ran by real people.
Yeah.
Right. And so, yeah, you're absolutely right. When you start working on yourself, you start creating a culture, right? You start believing in core values. You know, you start living your life in a certain way, and you're going to attract that amount of people. And I love, you know, I don't know where I heard it, but somebody said it and I've repeated it 1,000 times now, mm-hmm. is, you know, people do business with people.
Yeah.
Right? They don't do business with a brand usually, right? Unless you're like a big brand like Coca-Cola, right?
Yeah.
But usually it's like for us small business owners, right? Mm-hmm. People are doing business because of us.
Yeah.
There's something that attracted us to them.
Exactly.
Right? And you could attest to this, right? Most customers want to talk to you. I think we've had this conversation, right? They're like, Steve, when are you going to come? Or when are you going to pick up the phone, right? And you're like, my staff is well-equipped to handle whatever situation you've got. But they're so accustomed to you, and they're like, we started doing business with you, right, with Steve Pedroza.
Yeah.
And so we want to keep that relationship going. And so when you work on yourself and you start showcasing this new version of you, this next generation of you, you know, version 2.0, version 2.1, whatever the case may be.
Oh, yeah, dude.
You know, you start attracting, and again, like you said, the business kind of takes off with it because you start bringing in the right people and everybody starts looking at the vision.
Yeah, and I think it's what I really like notice a lot is like, I would say it's like the impact that I've been leaving on people around me, my team members and just other people in general. And it's that's the win. There, like, and we were talking about it earlier, like, you know, from people buying their first car that worked for me, from people buying their first house, that's freaking like, dude, a aha moment for me.
Right.
Like, there'd be times I'll just sit in my office and I'm just looking around, I'm like, dang, this is cool, man. Like, and those are my wins. Are my wins. Like, yeah, we can, you know, make millions and millions of dollars, but you know, that's. It's all external stuff. Yeah. That stuff really impacted their, you know, their family. Like, they're able to put a better roof over their head. They're able to get to point A to point B in a safer vehicle. We're impacting people, and I think that's the biggest thing for myself and even you. Like, we connect in a lot of different levels. Like, you know, it's funny. I think we at the first RBO we had lunch or breakfast together. And then the next one. We did the same thing right before we left. No, it was the last one.
Yeah, we had breakfast the last day.
The last day. Yeah. And then the last event for the year, we had dinner together.
In
Vegas, right?
Yeah.
That was all pretty cool. All that stuff was really, really cool. So, like, where do you, like, it's kind of, let's kind of switch it up a little bit. Like, your upbringing, right? I know you, your mom, passed away how many years ago?
So my mom passed away 5 years, August, August 15th.
August 15th. Just like a week ago or a week ago, something like
and
that.
And so, I am the second born. So I have an older brother, 2 years, we're 2 years apart, and then 2 younger sisters. We grew up a single mom. The last time I remember my dad kind of being in the picture, I was maybe 7, 8 years old. Mm-hmm. But it's funny because I remember all of it, right? Like, I remember seeing my mom cry and the fights, and, you know, I didn't understand it because, you know, I was little.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was carrying a lot of this stuff for all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, growing up, we gave her a hard time. You know, we moved a lot, so we could never really have friends, right, that last a long time because every year we were going to a different school because she had to move because she couldn't afford the place we were, you know, where we were at or whatever the case may be. I didn't understand that at the time. I thought she was just being mean and
just wanted to
move us, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, got involved into, you know, a lot of the street stuff, you know, fighting and, you know, just kind of being rebellious against, you know, because I was angry, right? I was angry at her, and I was angry at, you know, everything, at life. And so I put myself through pretty hard times. I did a lot of drugs. I started messing around with drugs at 11, and alcohol, and you know, kind of, you know, shifted all the way till I was about 16. About when I was 16, 15 years old, I want to say I overdosed, but I don't know. Because I can't remember.
Yeah.
But I woke up in the hospital, right? I was doing a bunch of shit, and I woke up in the hospital, and that was it. Mm-hmm. You know, they basically said, you continue this life, you're going to die.
So do you think at that time, was that a switch for you?
It was. It was absolutely a switch. And the big switch for me was seeing my mom the way it made my mom feel. You know what I mean? And at 11 years old, because I remember this vividly, we were in a pool. And I told my cousin and my brother, I'm going to grow up and I'm going to make money so that mom doesn't have to work the way she does. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so, like, I embedded that into me and I ensured that, you know, I went to school and you know, I started a career and I started helping her. You know what I mean? And so I was kind of living the dream that I wanted to do. Again, going back to the purpose that I gave myself at 11 years old was getting my mom out of that lifestyle that she had lived, right? And so, that was a pivotal moment for me.
So you had that point that you put, like a responsibility you put on yourself at a young age, but you're still dealing with a lot of internal things.
Yeah.
That caused you to drink, to do drugs, all that other stuff, you know? Yeah. And I could really, like, you know, like speak on the same thing, you know? Like, you know, not having a father growing up, you know, never meeting them, never any of that stuff. And just having my mom, and then I had a stepdad when I was about, I think, like 8 years old-ish, about 8 years old. And then, but yeah, just getting involved in a lot of different things and just really, like, I don't know, like, it was just weird. Like, I just like getting in trouble. Like, it was, like, it wasn't the cool thing, but, like, even all the way until, like, I didn't have my head on straight until, like, I still, like, sometimes my head gets crooked a little bit, but for the most part, like, it's pretty there. But, like, I remember, and, dude, all the way until, like, I graduated high school. I graduated, I played sports, I still had a decent head while I was focused on this, but same thing, I was rebellious, I used to get in a lot of fights. I wasn't really into drugs. I was always very paranoid. So I was like, okay, I'm already paranoid as it is. If I do drugs, I'm gonna be like 10 times more paranoid. So I was like, I'll drink to kind of more of like a more calm, like, you know, high, if you call it, like just being drunk and things like that. Yeah. Remember in high school, but then it maybe just remind me of a story right now. And I'm not gonna go too much into detail, but I think we were just talking about this. One of my really good friends that I grew up with in high school, and even when I got older, you know, helped me out financially with some stuff. A lot of people don't know that. My wife does, you know, but there was times, man, I couldn't even just pay for gas, you know, and I was just in a hard spot. And I was like, probably like, I think I was like in my 21 years old. And my buddy George, and he just passed away a week ago, man, a week and a half ago, man. And what's crazy is he saved me. But he saved me. I just graduated from high school, and some people know this story. I just graduated from high school. I was with one of my other friends, and we're all going to a party. And it was a party that we weren't welcome there, put it that way. We weren't welcome there, and it was just going to be a bad situation. And, it kind of went into where we're about to get to the party, and we end up getting pulled over by cops and things like that. And and at that time, you know, when it comes to protection and different things, it was a different story. But I remember my buddy, he drove by, we're pulled over, there was a little sentence on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And they yelled out, like, other words, they, you know, to the cops and things like that. And they just told us, man, it's your guys' lucky day. And they left us and they went to go get them. But I thank them because, you know, if they would have kept on doing what they were, their job, it would probably wouldn't have been, came out good for me, you know? But it's crazy, man. Like, the things that we used to do just because we just, I don't know. I think I was just trying to find a outlet, you know, to like be destructive and just kind of, you know, I guess fill that void, but it was never going to be fulfilled with that chaos, you know?
So it's, I think it's a way, you know, some people look for drugs, sex, food. I mean, you name it, right?
Yeah.
It's there's a, like you said, there's a void that actually you don't even probably think it's there. Like growing up, I don't remember like thinking, I'm doing this destructively. It was just like, yeah, I'm young and everybody's doing it type situation. And you think you're invincible, but bro, like I could think back and remember like doing drugs and being like, it's okay if I don't wake up. So I was never like, I never put a gun to my head or any of that stuff, right? But, you know, it was like, it's okay if I don't wake up. It's okay if like, and so it's like, I wasn't thinking about being self-destructive, but then again, I was, right? Because I would be like, okay, I know that I've had enough. If I have more, it's going to be a problem and I'm okay with it. And so, you know, it's, when you go back and reflect on that, dude, like you realize, there was something missing. And listen, my mom was, you know, she gave us all the love in the world. And, you know, my brother, my sisters, they were always there. They're very supportive. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was just, you know, I don't know. Honestly, dude, I believe that everything happens for a reason.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I learned a lot from it. Obviously, you know, I wouldn't wish that on anybody else. I obviously don't want that for my son. But I feel like I had to go through all that to grow up and to become the person that I am today and be of service, right?
Yeah.
Because now I don't, even though I'm working on myself continuously, I still want to serve others, right? I still think that we are all put on this earth to be of service, right?
Yeah, and then you do, you hit it on the nose, and then we talk about this all the time, like even at all the different meetups, is I could literally like just serve people all day long, like talk to people, like, you know, I don't know if they're where they're at in their life. I don't know. We do group texts for all my team. I'm like, hey, today's be positive, you know, impact someone's life, things like that, like. You don't know. That might person might be on their way home to put a gun to their head, to they have bottles of alcohol. They're going to write a letter. You don't know any of that, man. And our job is, as long as we put a smile on someone's face and talk to them, because there's been times, I don't regret anything I did or any of that stuff. But times, like I would love if someone would have talked to me, someone different, because of course we're not going to listen to our parents,
right?
All that stuff. But someone like someone genuine, someone just, hey man, like, how you doing? Why are you doing that? Or like, hey, how was your day? And like, it's like one more second, one more minute, like just think that one more time. I have purpose. I have, value to bring here. Like for my kids, like I was just telling someone the other day, I talk a lot to my kids and my wife. It's like, I could leave you life insurance. I could leave you houses, millions of dollars, all that. But what does that serve if I don't leave moments in time that we created and value I have taught you or you have taught me? What, all that stuff could go away. Like it's going to go. It'll go away if you don't know how to manage it, right? If you don't know business, you know all that stuff. But at the end of the day is like, service, like an act of kindness, of caring, but really caring, man. Like it's like
genuinely
caring. There's people like, like blah blah blah. Like, well, I know that if something happened or whatever, you probably won't jump in front of that bullet for me, or you won't try to jump in front of that car, you know. But we want to care for each other, and I think that's, you know, genuine. Like I get calls, you know, like this year, and I was just expressing, you know, like, express, like, death has been very close to me this year, man. It's a season of, I don't know, man. It's, and even, I haven't really shared this one much, but I shared it with you earlier. It's like, it's hard for me to go to bed, man. Like am I max, like, I'm overthinking it, to be honest, man. I haven't, you know, haven't even shared this with my wife, man. Like, it's hard for the past 2 months. It's hard for me to go to bed. Like, I fulfill my, I'm trying to, like, maximize my 24 hours to the second. Right. Like, you know, and you said something that hit me, like, hard, man. It's like, yesterday, for example, last night, my wife's been a little, like, under the weather, and I got home. I was doing things with my kids. We took them a shower, put them in bed, and my son fell asleep on my chest. And I'm in my head. I'm like, okay, I did this. I did that. I did that. I did this. I looked at my phone, my emails. I got everything. I was like, there's more I have to do. There's more I have to do. I know there is. And like, cause I'm like, damn, if I don't wake up tomorrow morning, like, I want to make sure I fulfilled my day for my kids, my family, everything. But like, the answer was laying on my chest. It was my son.
Absolutely.
And dude, it was hard, man. It was hard for me to really like, you know, like, and I thought about that even last night, and it just made me reflect again when we were talking earlier. Yeah. It just like, I was scanning everything. I was like, okay, like, all right, well, there's that. All right, there's some toys on the floor. I could pick that up. There's some dishes. Oh, we'll put those in the dishwasher. Like, what else do I have to do? And I just like, literally, like I looked and I just seen him, and he was on my chest. I give him a kiss on his forehead, you know, and he's asleep. And it's like, yeah, you know, like, it's sometimes, it's that close to us, man.
Yeah. It sometimes it's right in front of us, man. It's like I told you, you know, I had the same experiences when my son was smaller and sleeping on my chest, and I didn't value that time, just hearing him breathe, right, and seeing that peace of a child, you know, child brings so much peace to your life, bro, and just being present in that moment, right, and that is maximizing your 24, right, because you've maximized the time that you have, because in 5-10 years, he's not gonna be, you know, he's not gonna be sleeping on your chest, right? And so, you know, just really capitalizing on those moments is key, and being able to slow back down and, you know, and realize the beauty that you have in front of you.
Yeah, you know, and that's one of the things, is just like slowing down. Like, so now, like, you have these past, you know, say a couple of years to present, like, have you seen yourself slow down and be more efficient and more productive with your time than before? It just like go.
Yeah, I was running around like a headless chicken. Yeah. And so I would always say, I'm really busy, right? Like, I get up at 3 a.m, dude. I've been doing this routine for a very long time, and at 3 a.m, it was like, you know, 3 cups of coffee on the computer, you know, doing work and what I thought was being productive, right? But my health was shit. My relationships were shit, right? And so I put all my eggs into one basket, which was the business, right? The business has to grow. The business has to do this. The business has to do that. And so, you know, with the RBO and all the stuff that I've been doing the last couple of years is allowing myself to slow down and realize, okay, if I'm going to continue to get up at 3 a.m. because my body is just accustomed to it now, let's do something productive, right? Let's get better at my faith. So now I read the Bible, right? And, you know, I really try to have a relationship with my creator, right? Like, what is my purpose today? What is it that you're trying to show me today? And, you know, what I ask every day is, you know, shine your light not only on me, but through me, so that the people around me could get a glimpse of your light, of your love, right?
Yeah.
Let me love others the way you love me, right? And so I do that, then I exercise, right? It's my me time.
Yeah, so what do you, like, people don't know. I know, like, you know, it's not the pounds that you're counting, but I know you feel amazing now.
Yeah, totally.
Compared to when we, you know.
The first meetup.
What are you down, like?
From the first meetup, like, 70 pounds.
70 pounds?
Yeah, about 70 pounds.
Now. And how you feel?
I feel amazing, dude. Again, a lot more energy.
Yeah.
You know, again, refocused. I understand, you know, I still have my lapse, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But, again, I'm able to slow things down, realize, where can I be productive, right? I don't need to be busy.
Yeah.
I could be productive, right? I could shut my phone off. My phone could go on do not disturb at 5 o'clock and the world's not going to end. You know what I mean? And I could focus on my family. I could focus on, you know, continuing to build a relationship with my kids, right? My kids are adults, but that doesn't mean it's too late. I'm still here. They're still here. We still have time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, you know, rebuilding those relationships and continuing on living for a better today so that tomorrow could be that 1% better.
Exactly, man. And I think those are things that you had to work on yourself so you could pour into their cups, correct, right? And I think that's one of the conversations I had was I was struggling once I came back from some of the meetups was I just couldn't figure out how to pour into other people's cup because, like, I was like, man, they should be doing this, they should be doing that. And then it was hard for me to kind of, like, you know, like, from my team to personal, like, from friends to, like, my circle got smaller to my family. Like, how do I manage this? And I had to slow down. Yeah. I had to slow down. And I said the same the other day. It's how much time do you want to invest into you? How much money, I won't say, like, we'll call it money, but, like, how much experience, time, value, care, all that stuff you want to throw into yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And I was telling someone the other day was, like, you have a car and you have a plane. They both get you from A to B, right?
Right.
That's their job, to get you A to B, right? One, depending on what type of car you got, 40, 50, 60K, on something basic, and you go up to, you know, a couple hundred K if you want to get something fancy. But for the most part, you know, we'll go with that, right? But then you have a plane, right? Millions of dollars.
Right.
Right? And it's, you know, is designed to take you there faster.
Right.
Right? And it's the amount of money that they put in there. It's like people, the amount of energy you put into yourself. It's when you're in the car and you're going 80 miles, you go 120 miles per hour, everything's just zooming by. Boom, 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 boom. But when you're in the plane, you're going, I don't know how fast, but you're going, you know, I don't know how fast you go in the plane, but you're able to see everything clear.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, it's crazy. Like
500 miles an hour.
Yeah, 500, 700 miles per hour, something like that. But you're able to see everything clear.
Yeah.
It's while it's all the components are in it that you're able to slow down time.
Right.
That's what it looks like, right?
Yeah.
You're just like, wait a minute, we're going 700 miles per hour, but I can see exactly what's on the house, what's there, what's that. But in this car, because you're not putting the right stuff in it to get it to where you wanted to be at, right? Yeah. So I think it's looking within, right? Looking within to find the true self, you know? And I think it's everything, we're all so focused on outside stuff. It's like, man, like, just look within, man. Like, look within and see what you can find. And, you know, I pull out some stuff. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna throw that one away. I don't need that no more, man. Yeah. You know, but I think it's a fun journey, man. I would say it's a fun journey, and I, you know, I'm glad that, you know, we got to meet each other through the mastermind, and we're going out to Dallas next week.
Yeah,
so that'll be pretty cool, man. And that'll be pretty cool to be out there for a couple of days at the RBO Live. Not a sales pitch, but if you guys haven't got your tickets, get them, you know? Let's talk about your business, man. Let's talk a little bit about your business. You're in the IT networking type of business.
Yeah, so company name is Active Networks. We officially got started in 2006 as a IT company, so doing business to business, you know, concentrating on voice and communication, you know, servers, computers. And 2008, we all obviously know what happened there.
Yeah.
But a lot of the audio video guys that were doing, you know, residential stuff, you know, started calling us because their networks weren't correct, right? And so that's really where like Netflix and Hulu and all that really started kicking off the subscription services. And the network really is the core of any system, right?
Yeah.
And so we started helping them out and then realized, well, we don't need them. They need us. We could kind of start doing this for ourselves. And so that's when my business partner kind of came in and, you know, we kind of ventured more into the residential services. And so now I would say we're maybe 85% residential, mm-hmm. where we do complete, you know, home automation solutions, you know, real smart homes where, you know, either from a command tablet, your phone, or a push of a button, or even just,
yeah.
you know, doing like something simple as opening a door, that your whole house comes alive, right? So it knows Steve is in the house and Steve likes, you know, Monday Night Football, and it's football season. So certain lights come on, the football game turns on, nice. You know, you know, when your wife Justine comes in, something different happens, you know, yeah. maybe some romantic music or, you know, her favorite music,
yeah.
you know? And so that's a real smart home, right? And when you don't have to think about it, like, hey, did I turn the lights on, you know, at night, you'll never come to a dark home, right? They'll automatically come on. Same thing with daytime, right? Lights will automatically come off to save you money, and electricity, shades come down to hold the temperature of the house. Yeah. And so, you know, I really love what I do. Again, I think I put it together as being, you know, part of a service, mm-hmm. and I don't mean a transaction, right? Being of service to people. So when I walk into somebody's houses, I'm not selling you a product, right? I'm selling you an experience, yeah. right? So I really need to understand how you live, how many people are in the home, and how can we elevate your life? How much time can I save you, right?
Yeah.
If you have an 11,000 square foot home and you have to walk around the whole house figuring out what lights are on and off, right? It's going to take you some time.
Some time to do that,
and
yeah.
so if I could save you some time by pushing a button that says goodnight or goodbye, and you know the house shut down, I just saved you some time so that you could spend it with mm-hmm. the people that you love, with the folks that really should be getting most of your time.
Most of your time, yeah.
I love what I do, man. Again, I've been in the industry since 97 in the tech industry. Seen a lot of changes. My business partner, again, he's been with me since about 08, maybe 09. We're, you know.
So let me ask you a question on that. Is how is that? Like, I don't know because I don't have a business partner. How is that, man? Is it like another like set of eyes? Is it like another, you know, how does that?
So it actually works great, dude. I think that, so we're cousins.
Okay.
Right. But we never had a relationship as cousins because he's much younger than I am. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when we started working together, you know, when we just started working together, he wasn't a partner yet, you know, and both his mom and my mom were like, this is going to be a disaster. You guys are going to mess up the family, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You should never mix business with family. And now we realize that we were very, very similar in our mindset, right? Mm. And we were both really intrigued with helping others and seeing people grow. And again, you know, just bringing value to those around us. Yeah. And so we really clicked. You know, yeah, there's always things that we agree to disagree on, you know, but we're both very respectful to each other. We drew a line and we never cross it. You know, in business, we're business partners. We're not family. And even if something's going on in the business, we could go have dinner together as a family. Nice. You know what I mean?
And that's hard to do because, like,
very hard to
for
do.
Me, like, you know, when it comes to work, it's work, and in business. Yeah. And then when it comes, like, my wife's all like, I don't know if you want to go work for Steve. Like, you know, because, hey, this is a different, this is the, what you call the NFL, this is the big boys,
yeah.
right? This is the big boys and what we do. And you're going to, like, you know, if you can't hang, then you can't hang. Like,
yeah.
I have a mentor of mine is like, we'll be literally having a heated conversation right after, hey, what are you and Justine doing for dinner? Let's go, like. And it's perfectly fine because yeah. know how to separate the two.
Yeah. And establishing that at the beginning is key, because if you don't establish that and then you try to establish that later, then it becomes a problem. So yeah, we did it from day one. It was like, here's the line, bro. At work, I'm not your cousin. You know what I mean? We're colleagues,
yeah.
and that's it. And, you know, when I came to him, because I went to him to become a partner, you know, we went out to dinner and I said, hey, you're at a point where you could go do this on your own, right? I've taught you everything that I know. You could either do this on your own or we could partner together and kind of take this to the next level. And, you know, we talked out the details, and he was like, listen, I'd want to do it with you.
Nice. So
that's kind of how it happened.
Oh, man, that's super cool. You know, and that's, you know, that's always like a, like thinking about it. Like, and I ask people all the time, like, you know, like when it, like, you know, profit shares, things like that when it comes to business. But, like, I don't know. Like, it's always weird. Like, it's just, like, I just never done it. So, like, once we get there, it's like, you know, because I would eventually, you know, with this company or even another company, like other companies I do have, like, partner with someone, because it's a different lens.
Yeah.
You know, I would probably totally say totally different lens. Like, it's probably different than the way you are, yeah, the way you guys view things, and it's kind of will get you to that next level faster.
Yeah. He's totally an operations guy, and I'm a visionary, right? I'm bouncing around idea, and yeah, he's like, all right, calm down.
He's that integrator.
Yeah, he's the integrator. He's like, calm down. I love this one. Let's really concentrate on this one. How do we execute? Yeah. Because you could come up with a gazillion ideas, but we need to execute.
Yeah.
And so he's really good at that. And
that's good.
And he's elevated the business because of that. But yeah, I actually love having a business partner, mm-hmm, and I'm glad that we've never really gone into any kind of dispute that we can't, can't talk ourselves out of type situation. Yeah. But again, it was, you know, drawing that line early on, I think was key for us.
That's a good. So now, you know, we'll talk a little bit, we're on the business part, but what's your goals right now? What are your goals business-wise in the next 5-10 years? And then what are your goals personal?
Yeah, so on the professional side, you know, we're both in we're both mapping out our exit strategy, right? Okay. And so again, I've been doing this for 20 something years. I'm not burned out, but I realize that I need to allow the next person to kind of start creating or continuing the legacy of the company. And, you know, I could dedicate X amount of hours to the company a week or a month, whatever the case may be, but I don't have to be there on a day-to-day basis, right? I could still do the relationship building because I love talking to people.
Yeah.
But I don't have to be, you know, involved in the operations. So in the next 5 to 10 years, we're essentially building the leaders for tomorrow that are going to run the company. Our project manager right now, is a great candidate. You know, he's got the right mindset. He loves what he does, and he's all in. And so we're you know, molding him to be the next the next guy that takes over. And so that's for the business side, and my business partner's full in. And then as far as personal, is, you know, continuing to grow, dude. Continuing to work on myself and be impactful. You know, be as impactful as possible to those around me. I have a really big thing for kids, you know what I mean? On helping kids, you know, be better. Again, be that mentor that we both had when we were growing up. Somebody that really talks to you genuinely, mm-hmm, right? And makes you think things differently. Like, why am I doing all this, right? Without judging you, without feeling judged or anything like that.
Yeah, so like on that note, would you think, if you, the Adolfo now, right, met the 13-year-old, 14-year-old Adolfo, how would that conversation go?
Oh.
How would you think that would go?
It would, I think 14-year-old Adolfo would finally cry.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would just, you know, kind of realize, you know, help the 14-year-old version of me realize that A, not everything is your fault. B, you don't have to carry everybody's weight. Nobody's asking you to do that. You're carrying it because you want to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's okay to feel and be a kid. You know what I mean? It's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to ask for help. Mm-hmm. You don't have to figure it all out on your own. And you're never alone.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, that's always like always like, you know, like not listening to people and things like that. But like, it's always funny. It's always like I tell people, like, you know, the reason, kind of the one of the reason why for this podcast, like, you know, like, I enjoy talking to people. That is my therapy.
Yeah.
That is my therapy. That is, like I said, the only person that could fix Steve is Steve. Yeah. Like, you know, like yeah. bulbs just pop off. Like when I've been talking to you since we started, you know, it just like, understanding that, it is challenging to hear people out and like listen to people sometimes. Like I still struggle with that now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if it's my wife asking me like, or telling me this, or even some of my really good business friends or, it just you know, resonating with me. So like kind of like the question I asked you is like only Adolfo will know how to talk to Adolfo at 14 years old.
Totally.
You know, yeah. you know, getting that, like how to maneuver yourself to get that angle.
Yeah.
Like, all right, I'm going to get you. Boom. Here yeah. you go. Yeah. You know? And, so I think it's a cool thing. You know, if we had the ability to do that, just yeah. even just a talk, you know, right. like I see kids nowadays and, I think I was talking to Tom, it was maybe a couple months ago and we were talking about like, doing some like nonprofit work for like kids mm-hmm. because it's like, there's that song, what kids are the future, you yeah. know, like, but it is true, man. Yeah. But like the thing is, what are our kids learning now? Like, and I think it's one of the things that's like, just be real as you can, and authentic and as caring and just, it's okay to cry. It's okay to feel,
yeah.
I do it all the time.
Yeah.
I do it more than I did before.
Yeah.
A lot more, you know? But I think that's, you know, and I do have a sensitive part to that, to kids, and especially in urban areas yeah. where I grew up at, you know? I'm very, a lot of the districts and people I work with now, you know, I work in different areas, you know, very, you know, nice suburb districts and, but a lot of them are in urban areas and I connect really well with a lot of these students. And I'm just like, man, like, hey, dude, like, you don't need to be doing that, man. And I just talk to them. I resonate them with pretty well. And it's pretty cool. Like, you know, for them to look up, they're like, hey, you own a company. Like you're like, you know, you're right. Bald Hispanic dude, tattoos. Like I was like, yeah, dude, like, you know, yeah. you know, it's all right. You could do it, you know? Yeah. But I really, really resonate with that, man. Like helping kids out and getting them to the next level because, you know, they might not have a dad, they might not have a mom, they might not have one or the other, or yeah. they're fighting with their own demons inside because, you know, we were that at one point in time, yeah. man. And but yeah, and then, you know what, it's always good to, like, you know, talk with you, speak with you, like, you know, like we went through, you know, all these mastermind, like these masterminds with RBO together and yeah. Things like that. And what is something that you would tell people that either is on the fence, either is having that hard time to join a group like this or even testing it out, what would you say to them?
I think that the biggest thing that you could do is, you know, have conversation with yourself, you know, be real with yourself. Is this something that you could give yourself all into, right? Mm. Are you going to be committed to making the changes, to taking action, right? Because the hoorah, the rah-rah moments, they're always going to be there. And like I said at the beginning, right, it's when you come back to real life, when you come back to your day-to-day, mm-hmm. you know, are you really prepared to look within, right, and deal with the battles within and make the changes necessary for yourself.
Mr. Podcast.
That's my podcast.
Battles within,
yeah. And make the changes within yourself so that you could pour into people, not only from an empty cup, from a dirty cup, right? You want to clean out your cup. And, you know, if you're committed to doing that, listen, there's no money in the world, or time that should hold you back. You know, go.
Yeah. We had a conversation in Vegas.
Yeah.
Remember in a room with yeah. the other people and things like that. And it was talking about, you know, money and talking about that. And I literally, and I think you seconded it, is I will spend anything. Like, I'm not going to give up my last born, but like, I will spend a lot of money, give up things, my kidney, whatever it is. Trev Kale, don't try to take my kidneys, dude, but just letting you know, like it's real, guys. Like, this shit's real. Like, it's no joke. You're gonna get to a level, and you got to understand, I got lucky. I'm going to be like, this was my first mastermind, and the only mastermind I'm really a part of. I was kind of part of the core one as well, but I'm going to be honest, I got lucky, man, and I thank God that they put these people in front of me, you in front of me, and I struck gold, man. I struck gold on this group and all these people, and you got to understand that sometimes it might mean not to be the first one or the second one. You just got to keep searching for the people that are going to fit with your circle, right? And,
yeah, totally.
And I just think that it's gotten me to a level that it's like, dude, like, I was talking to somebody this morning about, they're like, hey, you know, like, and I was talking to you earlier, I was like, you're knocking out a bunch of stuff, I'm grinding, I'm doing it. I was like, yeah, dude, I'm only at 40, 50% right now.
No.
They're like, what? I was like, I'm only at 40%, 50%. I'm like, I haven't even reached 90%, dude. They're like, really? I was like, I haven't reached that yet. Like, I still have to unlock all these doors, you know? Like, you know, I have to be opening up these doors and opening up these doors and knocking on them. And the only way that's going to happen is by, you know, creating those relationships. You know, we all come from all different walks of life, you know? But at the same time, we resonate so much with each other. And I think that's what people got to find is who resonates with them. And it's not always about taking.
No.
It's about giving.
Yeah.
You know, there's conversation, like, talk to guys, hey, how are you guys doing? Like, how's that? Like, you know, it's not, you know, even though we signed up for this group, and then there's probably other people that I have networked with, and I give. It might be someone else's thing, but I'm giving. Boom. I'm just dropping bombs. Like, here you go, here you go, here you go. And understanding that it's a give and take relationship, you know.
And give comes first without any expectation of anything in return,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, man.
And yeah, like you said, right? We were born to be in communion, bro, you know?
Yeah.
And so you find your tribe, and man, you could take this to levels that you can't even imagine.
Oh, dude.
Right? You start doing things, and you start reflecting back to, man, I just did all that. Like, you know, I'll have conversations with the people, and then they tell me, you know, maybe a month later or a week later, hey, what you told me really resonated with me, and I went to go do this, and I'm like, dude, I didn't remember telling you that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But again, sometimes it's not even you talking, man. It's just, you know, there's a greater being, you know what I mean? And so I think that being in communion and finding your tribe, finding the right group for you, you know, whether that's RBO, whether that's whatever it is, you know, find that group of individuals that are going to elevate you, and that you could elevate with them and elevate them as well. So
that's true. So I always like to end off with like a kind of a question that I ask you, and then you can ask me whatever you want. But if you, you know, I'm going to go back to what when we're talking about kids and things right now, is like, if you had the ability to have a kid that is 11 years old, had a lot of the same scenarios that you had as a kid, what advice and what guidance would you give that 11-year-old kid?
I think that you know, one of the first things that I would want to do is you know, build a rapport with him, right? Understand what's in his mind, right? Like, truly get to know the individual rather than trying to change somebody, right? Because we all try to fix. We're fixers, fix it, right? Yeah. And so really not try to fix the person, but really hear them out, right? Make them feel understood. Understand where their circumstances are. Why do they feel the way they do? You know, kind of get into the core, right? Have them, again, look within, right?
Yeah.
Allow them to feel and not give up on them. Because I think that a lot of the times, especially with kids that are rebellious, right? A lot of people give up on them. You know, the school system gives up on them. You know, again, I remember teachers telling me, like, you're going to amount to nothing. And so, you know, really letting them know that, not only telling them that I believe in them, but showing them with actions, right, that I do believe that they could be better, or that they could get out of the rut that they're in. And so I think the conversation would go in a much longer version than a single conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
And I wouldn't want to give up on them. And nice. I would continuously pursue them, even if they, you know, kind of try to push me away. You know, mm-hmm. I'd find different avenues to connect with them and resonate and share my story, you know, because a lot of the time it's just hearing somebody else's story and saying, like, wow, they actually are going through what I'm going through. So I'm not alone. I'm not that different than I thought.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And so, again, just kind of resonating with them and not being judgmental.
That's nice. Yeah. And then one other thing is, in one word, describe yourself right now.
Wow. In one word, empathy.
Okay. And why?
Because I realized that I could be in the mud with somebody, mm-hmm. right? Even though I don't know the situation, maybe I've never been through it, and have empathy for it. Right, not sympathy, but empathy, and get into the mud with them and feel with them, and not try to pull them out of the mud, but actually be in the mud with them to feel, and then slowly
pull them out.
Try to pull them out, right? And nice. So, and again, not carry it with me, right? Once we got out, it's not mine to carry.
Yeah,
you know, and that's hard because we take it upon ourselves, and then we lose sleep. We do all these things trying to fix it, and maybe they don't even want to fix it, right? So it's like, I'll be in the moment with you. I'll have that empathy. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what losing, you know, at one point I didn't know what losing a parent was like. And so I couldn't resonate with anybody. I couldn't even have empathy. I was just like, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry. You know what I mean? So now I could sit in that mud with somebody and be like, I don't know what you're going through, but you're not alone. I'm here with you, and I'm here to support you in any way that I can.
Now, before we finish off, I always like to have the guest ask me a question. Anything that you would like to know about me, or just anything.
I like the curveball. Mm-hmm. I should have known. Yeah. let's see. Well, I really like the question you asked me about one word, but you probably know the answer to that. So, obviously you've had your business and. You've been successful at it, you know, but if you could work on a relationship to better a relationship, who would that be?
That's a good one, dude. my mom, you know, I would, hopefully I don't cry. I'm trying to see if I can. Okay. So like my mom, man, you know, it's tough, you know, I said throughout the years and, you know, being a, adult, you know, and just trying to resonate with things that, that my mom, you know, tried to do for me when I was a kid and things like that. And then when I got older, I just, you know, resentment. I don't know if she had resentment against me or I probably had resentment against her, you know? But yeah, you know what, building that relationship, like, you know, because I don't know if I'm gone tomorrow, I don't know if she, you know, she's in, you know, still pretty healthy, but I don't know, man. And I don't want to leave it up to, assumption if I didn't try my best to do it, you know? And, RBO, after breath work, I went home and I texted my mom, I really didn't, at that time, I didn't talk to my mom. Like, it was through text every so often, and it was probably, like, a scattered throughout a couple years, man. Like, you know, I'll see her, like, I'll invite her over to my kid's birthday, and a lot of it had to do with my wife. My wife, like, you invite your mom over, and I just really, it was tough, man. I was blank, dude. I just didn't know how to react to it, you know, because I just didn't want to feel, dude, to be honest. Yeah. I didn't want all the emotions and things to come out of me. And it's something I'm still working on, man. And I texted her. I was like, I remember I had a sit down conversation with her, and I could barely get words out. I was just crying. I was just trying to, like, you know, I want to try my best. We don't need to, like, one of the things I'm proud of myself I did was I had a conversation with her. I told her, like, this is not going to happen overnight.
Totally.
Okay. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time to build our relationship. You know, I love you with all my heart, and I love all, you know, everything that you have done for me. But I want to make sure that we build a genuine relationship together. It's been over a year and a half, and, you know, we text each other, you know, and about the same time, I'm doing a little bit more now in the texting. It's not just generic. Before, I'm gonna be honest, it was just generic. How you doing? Good. Love you. Bye. It's very like that now, like trying to put more effort into it, trying to do as best as I can because of the fact that it just, like, I just don't want what ifs, man.
No.
I don't want to leave this earth and, we'll leave everything on the table that I made in my best effort, you know, to have a relationship or try my best to build a relationship. And it's okay. And I have to understand, and we both have to understand, like, you know, we could love each other. And it's okay if we don't have a fantastic relationship. It's okay. But we have to make an effort.
Right.
If we don't make that effort, then there's going to be what ifs on both sides. Like, I don't know how she will feel if I die tomorrow.
Right.
You know, she might have regret. She might have all that. I don't want to live my life like that, man. I want to try, especially with my mom, you know, I don't have a father, you know, and I try to teach my kids, like, they are experiencing something that me or my wife never had. You know, me and my wife don't have a perfect marriage. We're not the best mom and dad, but we do our best. And we do give them something that we never experienced. And literally, I had a couple male role models in my life. You know, I had my stepdad, you know, for a few years, and I had cousins, things like that. But I had to navigate this shit on my own as much as I can and pull pieces together. My kids, the only male figure they have is me.
Right.
It's me or nothing, you know. And I know when it comes to my mom, I know she tried her best. And I know that. I appreciate that. And I love that. Just certain things that she tells me, I'm proud of you, mijo, for, you know, how you are as a dad. And it gets me, man. It gets me big time, dude. Every time she tells me that, because it's like, shit, like, you know, from somebody that's seen me from since I was born. You know, she was young when she had me. I think she was like 16 years old, 17 years old when she had me until, you know, and I just really try my best to work on that, man. And just know that I, you know, just the business, just with anything, just leave it out there, man. Just pour as much as I can out there. Leave it out there, and what sticks, sticks. And I just know that I did it. I did my all, man. And just go from there, man.
Oh, that's beautiful, man. And that's, you know, the beauty of that. You're taking steps towards that, and you realize that you can only do your part, and she has to do hers, and she's got to be acceptance of the relationship, wherever that goes, and you know, keep making deposits. It's going to take time. You know, right now it's text messaging. You know, later on it might be, you know, 3-minute phone calls, right? Yeah. You know, to lunches, dinners, and stuff like that. Yeah. But, you know, keep working on it. You're on the right track, dude. And, you know, set no expectations, right? The expectation is
I'm just going to try. Yeah, that's all I'm going to do, man. I'm just going to try and, you know, just like those little deposits, some might be more than others, some might be where I might see her and we might have like a function together, and that's a big deposit, but then there's other ones that are just micro increment deposits, you know? Yeah. But no, man, good question, dude. Good question, man. You know, but no, I really appreciate you coming out here today, man, and making the drive in LA traffic, bro. You know, 2.5 hours, but you got here, man. Truly appreciate it, man. And looking forward to see you next week in Dallas, man. And that's going to be pretty fun. And if you want to let the guests too, like, you know, you know, where to follow you. I know you're working on your podcast as well, man.
Yeah.
And that's super cool. So, you know, give it a shout out, you know, where people can follow you at. And, you know, because I'm always a big advocate of, you know, supporting my brother, man. You know, supporting my brother and supporting people around me, because I think if I could walk around with all my buddies, I literally will have freaking, you know, like stacks of people on top of my shoulders, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's because I just think that, like, I think we need more of that.
Yeah,
we need absolutely. More of that supporting people. So
yeah, no, I appreciate it, man. It was wonderful to make the drive out. Completely worth it. Always love talking to you, man.
Yeah,
appreciate you having me on the platform. And on Instagram, the_real_Adolfo, because there might be a fake one out there. So that's my personal, the_real_Adolfo. The business is Active Networks LLC. All platforms: TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and you know, hopefully we'll have you on the podcast.
That'd be nice, dude.
On the other side, and that is the Battles Within _, and that's the Battles Within _ again, all platforms. So, Steve, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you being on here. And thanks again, guys. It was a great episode. Looking forward to the next one. Stay tuned, guys. Have a great one.